This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Well, hey there. Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of Sports Daily. It is a Thursday. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland here with you on this Thursday. Max Powers producing. He's got us covered on the KFH hotline, 869-1240. That's where you can get in touch with us if you're driving around listening on KFH. If you're watching us on one of our video streams, thank you for watching us on 12 News Connected. If you're on Facebook, YouTube, or X, you can leave us video comments there. You can leave us voice messages if you're listening to us on the Odyssey app. Just click the little microphone and your messages will come right through. Max can listen through those and put them out over the air. We appreciate you being here with us. TJ, good morning. How are you? We lost your mic there, TJ, and so we're going to tell you that we are going to have a busy show today. Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider, will be in as K-State falls last night in their game at Arizona. So they are not in any good feeling right now. 24-point loss, 101-76. Wichita State falls to Rice. Yes, you heard that correct. Wichita State falls to Rice last night. So we will discuss that as well. Plenty to talk about there. We have those discussions. We got the CFP returning tonight, too. Did you even know that? Did you notice they're playing on a Thursday night? Miami, Ole Miss, should be a good one. Major NBA star is traded. Surprise NFL draft entry from a popular college quarterback. And very unfortunately, a situation with another Chiefs player off the field that we'll have to discuss. It's all coming for you. What's on tap? Brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, where you can drink Buffalo Sweat and help Buffalo right here in Kansas. In January and February at all three WBC locations, a portion of proceeds from every draft pint of Buffalo Sweat Oatmeal Cream Stout will help support Maxwell Wildlife Refuge, WBC Pizza and Beer made here. Let's try that again. TJ, good morning. How are you?
This just pisses me off. What's wrong with my microphone? At the opening of each show, it's not even halfway through. We're going to do it as soon as we do it. I even test the mic before the show. People think I'm crazy here. We're going to get it figured out one day. It's on. Shockers last night. Couldn't sleep. Paul Mills said he's going to have a lot of sleepless nights, and so am I after watching what I saw last night.
Yeah, look, it's. I hate to say it's more of the same, but it's more of the same. Wichita State loses a game they had no business losing. We'll get into it. It's a very disappointing outcome. And we are now already on January 8th, I fear, creeping into that territory that we always fear with Wichita State of apathy, right? You know, do people default? Tree falls in the forest. Nobody's around to hear. Does it make a sound? Are Shocker fans angry or are Shocker fans apathetic? I think you'd much rather have them angry, but a 66-64 loss as a 12.5-point home favorite against Rice after blowing an 18-point lead on the road against Charlotte, two teams that are not very good, that's going to be a problem.
It's going to be a scary part. It's the scary part that we always talk about is that you'd rather have people pissed off than don't care at all. And last night, absolutely. I mean, 30 minutes before the game, you're sitting there looking at it and said, man, this looks like a crowd of a team that just blew a 20-point lead to Charlotte over the weekend on a Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. So tough to get them out after that. They, you know, wasn't a great attended game, and they were gone by, you know, the 30-second mark of the game. There was nobody in there as players walked off the court. So it's bad because you like it's not bad in the terms of like it's over. It's so over because we talk about that all the time. But like if there you need to get the momentum going, and a loss like last night really, you know, halts you, if not gives you a step back.
Well, look, we know what the American is this year. I mean, you're going to have to win the conference tournament. We've known that for a long time. But we're two different things, right? The Shockers' chances in the postseason and the reality of the situation currently are two different things. Doesn't matter if they win every conference game now. They're not. It's not going to get them into the NCAA tournament. Wasn't going to, whether they lost to Rice or not. They're 9-6 going into that game. Not going to be good enough, right? So there is that component of the how good is this team? How much better can this team be? You know, what are the chances they can be competitive in this, you know, league and all of these things? All of those things exist. And then you have the separate conversation of big picture wise, what are we doing here, right? Like, is this all going to be good enough? Deshaun has a comment via the Odyssey app for us. A call. Sorry, this is 869-1240. This is on the KFH hotline. Deshaun, welcome into Sports Daily. How are you?
Good morning, Jacob. Good morning, TJ. This is Deshaun. I'm reaching out to you guys after last night's game. I was in the building for it, and I have to say that feels like the worst loss that we've had as a program since the Norfolk State loss. Like, whoever thinks Rice to be a threat. You know, this is not the Big East or prime ACC where every team's a threat to supposed real basketball schools. So, fellas, I need y'all to talk me back off the ledge this morning. Help me understand where there's still hope as a Shocker fan. As it's been 4 or 5 years since our last conference title, every season starts, we have the hope that we're going to do great. Before you get to the halfway point of the season, we're out of it. Haven't been a serious contender in the American for years. And I'm just kind of feeling at the end of my rope as a Shocker fan. So help me see the light, guys. Thanks.
He's got a point. You know, I don't want to go as far as to say it's the worst loss, but I mean, you can make an argument.
Last night felt that bad.
It's the worst conference loss in a long time. It's the first time they've ever lost to Rice since Rice joined it. It's the first time they lost to Rice since 1948, if you want to dig that deep. I'm pretty sure that's what the number was. So, it's a tough one to swallow because the point that I kept bringing up last night is that if you want to have a chance, obviously this isn't a hot take by any means. If you want to have a chance at the end of it, you got to win the games that you're supposed to win, and they just lost two that they had in front of them in the final minute and couldn't get it done. And so it's a tough pill to swallow because, you know, if you're not going to finish high in this American this year, when is it going to happen?
Well, look, and Deshaun's question is the question. Part that sucks the most is it's January 8th and we're having this conversation.
Exactly. You know,
we just started conference play. The 1-7 conference starts the last 2 year did the same thing to us. It is so deflating, right? You have, and there was more, you know, in terms of wins and losses the last 2 years with the bad starts, there was a little more momentum coming into conference play. I think this year, this team has to me looked better than the last couple of years. So they had that momentum, right? Like they've looked better. And then, okay, great. They get a big win against UAB, comeback fashion. Awesome. Charlotte, man, how do you blow an 18-point second half lead? That sucks. It last night was the thing that like can't happen. You can't follow that with a loss to Rice as a 12.5-point home favorite. What? Like, what do we? That's the worst thing that could happen. Not just because it's Rice and your big favorite, but because of the timing of it. Like we're just coming off of that Charlotte game.
I think that the biggest punch in the gut about it all is the fact that they've now lost 7 games by 6 points or less is the stat of this. And it's like, and they're all the, you know, a little bit of the same story is it's either they get into a hole to start and they claw back and can't get it done in the final minute, or they go up big, blow it, and then have a chance at the end and can't get it done. And last night it was, they kind of had a big lead. They blew it, had to come back from a hole. They did. And then it was there at the end and they couldn't get it done. And it's, you know, the definition of insanity.
They didn't shoot very well last night. Nope. We're going to Deshaun's question though, on what is the hope, we'll discuss if there is some. We'll also get into K-State on the other side. A Rashee Rice situation we'd rather not talk about, but we will. It's all coming for you here on Sports Daily. Don't go away. It's Albrock and Cleland. Stick around.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dude, you gotta hear this. Hear this.
Go ahead. I think I wanna hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Glad to be here with you. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up on another late night of watching college basketball early Thursday morning here. And it was, and we didn't get a lot of enjoyment out of watching last night's college basketball, to be quite frank. Wasn't good. Didn't go well for either Wichita State or K-State. K-State a little more expected. We'll get to the Cats. Tim Fitzgerald's going to join us later in the show to talk about not only that big loss to Arizona, but you know what are the chances K-State can be competitive in the Big 12 this year. And then we'll get the latest, of course, with K-State football and all the players coming in, all the players going out, and everything in between. That's coming up in the next hour. We're on the Shockers. Deshaun asks before the break, a Shocker fan, he says at the end of the line, what's the hope here? What's going to keep him engaged? And you know, I'd tell you, I don't know the answer to that. I would tell you that going to Shocker games is always fun. I would tell you that it's a team that feels much better than they're currently playing to me anyway. I think it's a better team than what we're seeing on the floor the last game and a half. But we're in a down conference, 1-2 to start things off here, losing games we have no business losing. This is if you're the Shockers and a Shocker fan. I get it. What are you supposed to do? Like, what is the great hope here? You already knew you're going to have to win a conference tournament to get in. But the expectation for Wichita State at the end of the day needs to be an at-large contender every year. That's where the program should be. That's what's reasonable. They haven't been there in a long time. And I don't know what turns it around. I don't know what makes this team not play the way they played yesterday, not shoot. What did they shoot? 27, under 30% from the field against a team like Rice. I have no idea. Not sure. Remember when you guys were making fun of me, TJ, for saying I didn't know if this was going to be a great three-point shooting team?
They have been the last two games, though.
They have been what?
I mean, they haven't been a 29% from the field type of team. I mean, last night was a bad night, and I think that, you know, not to be this guy, but this is what Jacob Albrock's stance typically is. I'm surprised you haven't said it yet, of saying that, like, they, you know, it's January 8th and there's still 2 months left. And that's the thing that you can kind of hang your hat on still, because it's a team that we saw almost beat St. Mary's.
Two different conversations.
I know.
That's not the thing. That's the reality. That's not the thing, though, that's going to give Shocker fans any hope.
I mean,
that is the reality. The reality is they're 1-2 who in a league, they're going to have to win the conference tournament. Who cares? Right. That's the reality.
If you want to have hope, it's entirely up to the Shockers to show you that you should have hope at this point. Like, I mean, Deshaun's got a point. Like, it's the hope that this team can go beat Memphis and Tulsa and North Texas and, you know, claw their way back into this thing and have a chance and make you feel good about going to Fort Worth at the end of the year and having a chance to get in. Like, you lose to Rice, it's a real punch in the gut. Like, it sucks. And so I'm with you on that fact. But, the, you know, it, there's only one way up from here, basically. And I think that, like, you know, I'm not going to sit here and play rose-colored glasses or anything like that, but it is a team that we saw in the same breath. You know, you're not getting beat by 30 every game. You're getting beat by two. You know, you're that close to getting it figured out. And so I think that something just has to give and something has to change. And I don't know what that is, but, you know, you can't chalk it up. And to be fair, would we say that Taylor Eldridge had a story that they're the unluckiest team in all of college basketball? At some point, you know, the pendulum will swing your way a little bit, but you also have to, you know, manufacture your own luck.
Last night was not unlucky. Last night was bad basketball.
You could make a case for the final play that there was a little bit.
Yeah, I don't even care. Honestly, like the final play, it sucked. I mean, it was very unfortunate. I get it. Like it's a tough call and a tough situation. And
you're also down by 13 points to Rice.
It's flipping Rice. Okay. Like and no offense to them. Like that's not that. And I'm glad we haven't gotten there yet. I mean, it does suck that call went that way, but you can't have yourself, and to the Shocker's credit, nobody from what I heard from what you were sending out from post, like nobody was making excuses on that. Like it just, you can't be in that situation. Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah, the sentiment that they said, basically, Michael Gray, I asked him about it, and he said, man, I thought it was a shooting foul, but they didn't, so they waved it off, but it's our fault for being in a situation where we needed a final three in the 2 seconds after the game. So like it's kind of our fault. And then Coach Mills said, no, they got the call right. And I said,
it's a tough call.
And he said, yeah, I watched it back. They got the call right.
It's a tough call. I don't have a strong opinion on it either way, other than
if you look at the video that I got, it shouldn't have been a foul at all. He stepped out of bounds.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, again, it's not, it doesn't even register to me as the most relevant things like at all.
No.
It's a one small part of a bigger issue. You've got two different situations. The hope is, I don't know what the reality is, all the things that you said that we always say. It's January 8th. There's a ton of basketball to be played. This team is still way engaged, talented, and fine. The conference isn't very good. This team could absolutely win the conference tournament. No big deal, right? But that's not the same. That's not what Deshaun's asking about. Deshaun's asking about, like, what should get me fired up about Shocker basketball right now? And that's the problem, right? The reality is, yeah, they could still go win the conference tournament. Sure, they could. And it's way early in the conference schedule. Like it's none of this is that big a deal. It's a big deal that it was a home loss, I suppose. But that's not the challenge Wichita State basketball has faced now for the last, I don't know, 6 years. The challenge is you can't get people fired up for it. And we saw this summer, people are ready to get fired up for something. You walked up and sold out TBT games this summer. So like the fans are ready to explode on this, but they just like they continue to stumble through this. And so there are two very different things that we have to think about right now with Shocker basketball. How do you get butts in the seat? How do you re-engage a fan base, one of the best fan bases in the country? Like, how do you do all these things? Because apathy is setting in and people are just like, yeah, whatever, right? Whatever. I don't know. They lost. We'll see if they tune in, conference tournament will get here, we'll see if they win. And the only way to do that is to go win like 10 straight games, right? Like get hot, get buzz, get something going that you know fans can talk about, that we can talk about. How are we supposed to get excited about last night's game? I don't know. I mean, you just can't.
I know.
You can't. That's the problem.
I don't know. It's such a just poor situation to be in for Wichita State, and like, you know, not a poor me situation, because it, you know, the table's set for them and the table's been set for them in the American this year to do everything that they want to do. And I know Coach Mills talked about on Monday that they're not a big, you know, goal setting program. They're a habit setting program, but you know, the habits didn't show up last night. And to be, and not to dog here, I mean, they shot 29% from the field, like, and they just didn't make shots. And so I don't know. It's just, I'm with you 100%, and I know that all the fans are as well, that, you know, it sucks that we're sitting here on a Thursday morning talking about this, and people are going to go to the water cooler last night and say, hey, did you see the game last night? And they're going to say, who played? What are you talking about? K-State? The game that K-State lost by 30? That's what people are going to talk about instead.
Charlotte and Rice are two of the five worst teams, according to KenPom, in the American this year. That'd be the fear. You know what my fear today is? They just lost two games to two of the five worst teams in the league. So
how bad is it going to get? How bad is it going to get?
Because we saw it get real bad the last 2 years. And they better.
If that's the case, then it's going to be worse.
They better put the clamps on this thing and get it together. The game itself. What can they do to be better? I'm starting to get a little worried, TJ, about Gray, Giles, and Boyd seeming like the only guys that are taking shots on this team. Core 4 ended up taking some shots, but like they're going to have to try to do something. Like, this has to spread out a little bit, I think. When the Shockers have been, what's the best win do you think the Shockers have had all year? Northern Iowa? Is that the one we're pointing at just because of the quality of opponent there?
Yeah, probably.
Northern Iowa on the road. You know, you're looking at a game.
UAB on the road's a big one too.
Northern Iowa on the road. We'll start there. And I've not looked these up. This is in real time just because I'm curious about it. You had 4 players take at least 8 shots in that game. UAB, another good one. But again, that was kind of a comeback win. I don't know that I'd, whatever. Well, let's just take a look here. That was a game where, Berg took 10 shots, Boyd 9, Giles 17, TJ Williams took 7 shots, Gray, a lot of guys were shooting. You watch a game like last night, and it's like they can't become that one-dimensional, especially when they're relying on shooters, because shooters get cold. Yeah. And if you get cold, you better be able to create some more offense than they did.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a weird scenario. I agree. I mean, Okorafor got 7 shots eventually, but I mean, it took a minute to get there. I mean, Giles missed 10 threes last night. Caron Boyd went 0-for-7 from the field last night. Like, it was just a cold night, and you know that happens in basketball, but you just have to find a way to adjust. And to their credit, they did. It was a little too late, and they ran out of time, and they couldn't get it done in the final second. And I mean, they tied it up and then immediately gave up a 7-0 run, and that was kind of what did them in there at the end of the game. So it's just there's like, it's one of the ones where you watch it and you're just like, it feels like they just got outmatched by Rice. Like, there's nothing you could say like they turned it over 15 times. Like, they shot themselves in the foot. It's just like they could not make shots, and Rice looked better than they did.
Wichita State right now is 191st in the country in made threes per game, 71st in 3-point percentage. So, like, I don't like last night seeing a 3-for-13 performance from Kenyon Giles. Like, I don't mind letting Kenyon Giles shoot, but the Shockers are never going to be the best version of themselves, my opinion here, if they're just chucking a bunch of threes. Like, they're not, like, it's a part of their game, but it's not like the strength of the team or anything like that. They're in fact, they're probably better at it than they have been in a few years. But this isn't a team that can just start firing away. Like, I don't think that's going to work. Where does the offense come from? You scored 64 points against Rice. 64 points against Rice. Rice is the 237th best defensive team in the country right now. You score 64 points? You've got, like, just beat them down. Go get your buckets. Control that game. Like, that's what, watching last night, it was a major offensive issue. Like, just no rhyme or reason to it. And I don't know why that is. I'm not smart enough to know why that happens. But if I'm looking at that game, it's like, where is the offense against this team? It just doesn't, at home, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yep. I agree. I mean, that's the best way to put it, is it doesn't make a lot of sense of what we saw. And so it's just, it's frustrating, and it sucks for all the fans involved. It sucks for the university that's just a situation that it is right now. And, you know, the only person that can change it is the Shockers. They just need to go take care of their business. So, big chance to do it against North Texas on Sunday, who just beat Tulsa. North Texas is 134 in the KenPom. Wichita State's still a, you know, top 4 or 5 team per the metrics. They just need to. And like I keep saying, like, it's Chiefs-esque, you know? Like, it's like this season, you know, where it's like the Chiefs are showing you enough to make you think that they're still good, but then they lose the game. It's like, well, I don't know. Are they good? Like, they need to finish the games to make me feel better here, and that's kind of what it feels like watching the Shockers right now.
I don't think the Shockers ever got started, let alone finished the game last night. But I agree with you. Usually it's just get it done. Last night, to me, felt a little bit less like, oh, they couldn't finish. They never got started last night. put the clamps on it right now and make this a one time. Like that is a bad loss. I don't know if I agree with Deshaun that it's the worst conference loss they've had in a long time, but it's the worst one I can remember in a long time. And so now you get to go play North Texas, Florida Atlantic, South Florida. You're going to play some good teams now. Two of them are on the road, TJ. So let's not sit here 1-6 having that conversation again after the last 2 years going 1-7 to start. We'll see if they can get it turned around. They'll play again. That game against North Texas is Sunday, 2:00 at home, Charles Koch Arena. I will say you know this better. We'll finish with kind of vibes here. How do the players seem to you after the game?
I mean, they've been pretty – it was Gray and Giles, the only two that we talked to. But, I mean, they've been as even-keeled as they've been all season of, like, nobody – like, and I mean, questions were asked last night about, you know, how tough is this pill to swallow? Like, where do you go from here? What is going wrong? Like, does something have to change? And, I mean, they basically were just saying, like, listen, guys, like, we know. We know what's going on. We know – the issues that are in front of us right now, and we know that it's our job to fix it. And, you know, there was unfortunate things that happened in the Charlotte game, and there's unfortunate things that happened in this game, but it's our fault for letting it get to that point anyways. And so it's just something of, you know, to kind of just even keeled moving on to the next game. The same sentiment that Paul Mills has is that, you know, they're not going to overreact to a win or a loss, and they're trying to just move on to the next game. And that's the only thing you really can do logically. And so, you know, credit to them if that's actually the vibe of the locker room.
I kind of think it's time to start overreacting to some losses. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's time to overreact to that loss last night. An overreaction would be appropriate today at practice to that loss last night.
I will say, you know, it was kind of listening to Coach Mills speak last night. It was, you know, and he was right about everything he said about, like,
sure,
Rice showed them different things than they've seen. The Broadnax guy, which I thought his name was Broad Max all night. I learned after the game it was Broadnax. Broadnax, you know, ended up scoring 22 points. They played a lot more iso ball than they have the entire year, and he kind of, you know, put it to him a little bit and grew that lead out whenever they grew that lead out. And, you know, kind of caught the Shockers off guard, and that's everything that happened. And then, you know, Rice is a team that, you know, almost beat Memphis and all this stuff. And it's like, listen, like, at some point, the other foot's got to drop and say, like, we've lost 6-7 games like this, and something has to change. And I think that there is the sentiment of that, but I don't think it's to the point where we are where we were last year when Paul Mills was saying they were doing two-a-day practices because they're not good at basketball.
Yeah, it's it's
that might come if they can't figure it out. That, you know, that listen, was around this time.
It's easy for me because I can just say the team is talented enough to win the conference tournament. Like, I can keep my motivation for encouragement high enough internally. I can, because you can just see it. Like, it just seems like a team that in their best game is as good as anybody in the leagues. That's not the issue at hand. The issue at hand is, how do you convince the fans of that? How do you convince the fans to come pay for a ticket? That's the issue at hand. How do we keep that fan base engaged enough? And those kinds of games crush momentum to doing that kind of thing. All right. 869-1240, you can react on the air. Patricia says Berg at 7 foot tall has been a non-factor on offense or defense. I think he's a factor. I think he's still finding it. I think, you know, mixing in he and Okorafor together is the right mix. I think they both have it, but in spurts probably.
Let me tell you, if you want to say something about Will Berg, that dude is on the floor a lot as a 7-footer. Like, I was like, he's gonna get a concussion because he goes down so freaking hard.
Go up strong, big fella. The old Bill Walton moment there. Kind of has a Bill Walton vibe. Anyway, thank you, Patricia, for the comment. John on YouTube has a problem with the coaching staff. Says they don't have an identity. They don't play defense. I thought they played okay defense last night, but they didn't against Charlotte, certainly. Appreciate the comment there, John. Have folks reaching out to us directly. Michael on X. Saying it's coaching issue. I mean, coaches are the accountable ones. Certainly, that never changes, really. But it's certainly not easy. It's not an easy situation there at Wichita State as the Shockers continue to struggle. Shouldn't be losing games to Rice at home. We'll get back to it. Want to say thanks to Crestview Country Club for being a great supporter of the program. A little rain out there this morning.
I can hear it. I don't know if you can hear it on my microphone. It's loud.
Yeah, I can't hear it on the microphone, but I can hear it when I walk upstairs. And we showed a picture on the air yesterday that a viewer sent in on 12 News of like some early spring plants trying to bud. This is not gonna help that fact. We're gonna have more of that after some nice rain, and then it's at some point Mother Nature is gonna drop the hammer on us. I know it's coming, and I'm not ready for it. And just give me all the rain and 50 degree, you know, winters that we can have, because I'm not ready to deal with what we dealt with last year in the cold. But you know, stick out there, Crestview Country Club. Maybe they'll green up a little bit. The course looks great. Course is going to be in rocking condition next spring. Those trees that they removed, I don't know how often people are out there, but it looks really good, and it'll be fully ready to roll next year. 36 holes of golf. You can go out there and play it right now. Give them a call. Best time of the year to join, they tell us. So give them a call. Ask about those membership options and tell them we sent you from Sports Daily. All right, TJ. Look, the Rashi Rice story sucks. But we don't. There's not much you can do with these. It's one of those where it's hard to do what we do, because there is a process for these things, and now in a world of social media, juries and you know and things are out immediately. You must have an immediate reaction to these situations. You must have, or you're a sympathizer. Oh, you're not going to say the Chiefs should cut Rashi Rice? Well, then what are you okay with domestic violence? Like, that's what sucks. And it sucks worse when it's a guy who has a now track record of making really poor decisions. But Rashi Rice was accused yesterday by is it an ex-girlfriend? Of domestic violence, the mother of a child of his, of violence. And they're pretty grisly accusations. She put out a bunch of pictures, but as of last night, there has not been a police report filed. There have not been any charges brought against Rice. So we wait, and we wait very uncomfortably in another situation involving a Chiefs wide receiver off the field. And look, there have been instances of these where it was found that, you know, that was somebody being dishonest. There are also instances of these that are some of the most horrific things you can imagine. The Chiefs put out a statement yesterday. The club is aware of the allegations on social media and in communication with the National Football League. We have no further comment at this time. So we wait.
That's the only thing that we know, basically. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in the, you know, journalistic standards of the story, the only thing that we have on the record of anything is that the Chiefs are aware of the situation, and that's all that we even said. The Chiefs didn't even use the word Rashi Rice in the statement either. You know, like that's how careful of a situation it is to tread around this thing. And so, you know, obviously all signs point to that it's a bad situation all around. Obviously nobody wants that to happen if that's a truthful thing. And then, you know, as you know, people that talk about sports, you make the impossible transition into what it means for the Kansas City Chiefs if something is true. You know, I don't think that we need to really dig into the hypotheticals of something that hasn't had a police charge even filed yet, and just kind of wait uncomfortably is basically the only thing that we can do right now. But it does, you know, that's kind of the thought that crosses the back of your mind once you get over the immediate, this is awful. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, it is awful. It's awful that the situation exists in the first place. And the other thing that you cannot ignore is what Rashi Rice has dealt with in the past, right? The decisions that he's made. Unfortunately for him, that's the reality of life, right? Tyreek Hill had some gnarly accusations against him that we had to take more seriously. Why? Because he'd done some of the exact same things and been, you know, convicted of them. So these are grain of salt situations and they suck, but until you get a little more going, it's hard to react to it because anybody can say anybody about anything online at any time they want to. Just the reality of the situation.
And that's the best way to put it, basically. And like, I don't want people to listen and think that we're just saying like, well, let's hear his side of the story. 'Cause that's not what we're saying at all. We're saying the fact of like, it's, you know, this is the way you have to handle things in, you know, professional journalistic settings and everything of that nature of, you know, everybody deserves a due trial and the, you know, the judicial system and everything like that. And that's just where we sit right now. And it's basically just waiting. And that's all we can do. So
the Chiefs' comfort level with these situations also doesn't help. They've been comfortable taking on players with these kinds of issues in their past. They brought back Kareem Hunt, Tyreek Hill. They had no problem bringing in Tyreek Hill after the things that those were actual things, right? Those weren't just accusations. Frank Clark got in a lot of trouble off the field while he was there. They're comfortable with it. And, you know, Andy Reid is a believer in second chances. I am too, by the way, but you're sleeping in the bed you made. If you're the Chiefs, like you're the Chiefs, like you deserve probably the, you know, the quick snap reactions because you had to be willing to take them when you take certain players and welcome them onto your roster. And so we'll just wait on this one. It will be significant. Look, if this is real, I mean, what do you do if you're the Chiefs? Are you that dedicated to Rushy Rice? You can deal with this again?
I don't think so.
I doubt
it. But again, we don't know basically. And so like,
right. You get into hypotheticals of what the team's the team is reacting appropriately right now, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean,
they're taking the right approach. My question is if there are legs to this, if more comes of it, what are they going to do? You know, like what do you just cut ties at that point?
We're talking about a guy that still has to serve 30 days of jail time for the other thing that happened basically. And the guy that just missed 6 games of a suspension. And then we've seen how the NFL has handled this type of thing. Like they bring the hammer down harder than, you know, six games, you know, on the bigger side of everything that we've seen of what happened on the other situation, not saying nothing was deserved because, you know, awful situation there as well. So I don't know. I mean, the NFL is going to bring the hammer down as well. So, I mean, it's something that's like, do you want to even mess with it? And I don't know if they do.
It's true. They're going to, the NFL will drop the hammer. Maybe the Chiefs don't have to worry about it. Like if they get into it and this is any part of this is true, the NFL is going to probably handle this too. So if you're the Chiefs, you'll just make the easy. I don't know. I hate that it's happening. The accusation again for Rashee Rice is that, he abused his ex-girlfriend and she put it out on social media. But again, no charges have been filed. And there's no, you know, police are not looking for Rice or anything like that. So it is way early. But we know how this we know how the world is. People, if you can't come to an immediate conclusion, you're, I guess, irrelevant. There was a lot of that yesterday on a lot of different things happening around the country. This was one of them. You better have an opinion right now. Right now. If I don't rush to social media and give my thoughts on a horrible domestic violence situation potentially on a Chiefs wide receiver, then I'm not doing my job. Like that's the feeling I think sometimes. But we'll wait and see because it's a big accusation and Rashee Rice is in the middle of another off-field situation, one way or the other, he's in the middle of it. And it's just kind of par the course for the Chiefs. This happens all the time with Kansas City. The reality is we see this all the time. And it's hard. It's hard to deal with. It's hard to deal with as a fan, too, right? Like, you don't want the team you root for to be dealing with this crap. You just rather have high quality people around the organization, I think.
I know.
It sucks.
Yeah. I just, like I said, basically the only way to handle the situation is just to sit around and wait and wait to see what we see because we're going to see stuff in the coming days. I'd have to imagine one way or
that'll
another.
Happen
and
quick.
And then we'll have the conversation then of saying like, okay, well, this happened. What does that mean for the Chiefs football wise? What does that mean if something doesn't happen, if, you know, on the other side of the coin, what does that mean? What decisions do the Chiefs have to make at that point? Like, you know, there's conversations that will be had, but right now, like, as we said, the only thing that is on the record that we know is that there was a post and there was a comment from the Chiefs saying that they are aware of the post and that's it.
We have not yet seen, correct me if I'm wrong, at least I haven't, any response from Rashee Rice yet?
Nope.
Okay. Well, that's what else we're waiting on.
Yep.
Is Rashee Rice to say something, whether he says, I didn't do any of this or nothing. Nothing feels a little damning. Like, probably if you didn't do any of this, say, hey, I didn't do any of this. But we'll see what comes of it as the days go by here. All right, we're making our way through a 30. You can give us your comments and thoughts on that. We won't have a ton for the reasons that we've laid out for you. It's hard to have comments on a situation that just is very evolving and very early on, but happy to let you discuss whatever you'd like about it. 869-1240, you can do that. Did you say something, TJ?
No.
Sorry. So we'll do that. We'll have in the second hour, Tim Fitzgerald is coming on with us here. We'll talk about, we haven't talked about it yet. We will. K-State got smoked last night. What are the chances here K-State can be seventh or best in the Big 12?
That's a weird game to take anything away from, because Arizona is really, really good. And honestly, yeah. BYU is really, really good too. Like, it's kind of like we got two data points. There are also two data points of two of the best teams in the entire country.
That's accurate. Wyatt Thompson brought that up. And is correct about it. Like, the schedule did not fall good early for K-State. But I'm going to tell you, we all know about, there's currently six teams inside the top 20 of the KenPom. Baylor then makes seven inside the top 40. UCF, TCU, both inside the top 50. You've got Oklahoma State inside the top 60. Cincinnati, then Kansas State's down at 72, West Virginia 74, Colorado 80, Arizona State 92, and Utah right now bringing up the rear at 131. So there is one team currently in the conference outside the top 100 of the KenPom. One. That's it. Two outside the top 80. It's not going to get a whole lot easier, right? Like that. It's not going to get more difficult than what Kansas State has faced out of the gates. I agree with you on that, but it ain't ever going to be easy in the Big 12.
So, I mean, the funny part about it is that, like, even if K-State like rolled through their non-conference schedule and was like, we were beating our chest about, like, man, they've only got one loss and it was to Nebraska. Like, this looks pretty good. Like, the chances that they would have gone 0-2 in their last two games was still pretty high.
There are 1, 2, 3, 4 teams below K-State right now in the Big 12. They will play three of them, I think, two of them, sorry, Arizona State, Utah, and the other two that are kind of ranked right with them, UCF and Oklahoma State. That's their next four games. If they're in the next four games, like, can you win all four? That would be the thing where I'm like, okay, like, we're in there. But it's going to take something like that to do it, which includes road wins in the conference. We'll talk to Fitz about it in the next hour. We'll get you ready for a college football playoff game on a Thursday. That's coming in the next hour as well. Plus your comments, calls, thoughts. It's all welcome here on Sports Daily. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.